239-1310. 239-1310's Afternoon's name is. Now, you know, the unofficial Republican National Convention is going on in Indianapolis this week. 70,000 people are attending the 143rd annual meeting of the National Rifle Association. But there are others that are saying to the National Rifle Association, they're being like Jeremiah in the wilderness, saying to those folks, yeah, you got Second Amendment rights, but there's some common sense things you can do to reduce the level of gun violence in America. Many of you heard and remember the case of Jordan Davis. Jordan Davis was a young man in Florida, Jacksonville, who was shot down dead because some white guy thought Mr. Davis's music was too loud. The jury was deadlocked. There's going to be a retrial. His mom, Louisa Macbeth, is in our city, you know, kind of being like a prophet, being like John the Baptist, even being like Christ himself, saying to the NRA, hey, we got to do things differently in this country. Louisa Macbeth is on our live line. Ms. Macbeth, welcome.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for having me.
I'm just fine. How are you? So what brings you here to our city that's holding the unofficial Republican National Convention this week, and the kind of message that you're trying to have the community understand?
Well, basically just trying to get the lobbyists and the leadership of the NRA to understand that, you know, collectively, as a whole, the country, and not only that, just the country, but, you know, Moms Demand Action, Mayors Against Illegal Guns, which is now, you know, a coalition that's come together. You know, we're a grassroots organization working to make sure that our citizens are safe in this country. We need the NRA leadership to understand that we are not trying to take their guns. It has never been about that. It's always been about preserving individual Second Amendment rights, their rights to protect themselves and bear arms. But with that comes a great responsibility. They go hand in hand. A responsibility to make sure that you do so in a safe manner that keeps individuals safe. And you have an accountability and responsibility as a gun owner, as, you know, a law-abiding citizen that uses guns as an enthusiast or a hunter. And you still have a responsibility. So there are many, many people that, you know, we're not after the good guy with a gun, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to get the NRA leadership to understand there are a whole lot of bad guys out there with guns, and we cannot allow them to run amok. We cannot allow them to wreak the havoc on the citizens of this, you know, this nation, you know, and it's going to continue unless we come to some common sense solutions. Safe gun solution that makes everybody happy.
One of the arguments that sometimes the NRA makes is that, you know, they have gun safety classes. They work with young people, and it's been interesting this week that their safety program, Eddie Eagle, went to some high schools in the Indianapolis area, none of them located within the city of Indianapolis. They went out into the suburbs, into the sub-rural areas. Is part of this that the NRA ought to take some responsibility, that if they're serious about responsible gun use and gun ownership, they ought to come into high schools and schools in the urban areas of our city and teach young people, you know, first of all, if the gun is illegal, stay away from it. You know, don't use your parents, you know, don't use your parents, that kind of education.
Right. Definitely I would think that's probably more just lip service than anything else. It's right. Not really intended for the entire, you know, group of citizens that, I mean, if it were so, then they would be doing such. I just think that, you know, their agenda is to continue to arm as many people as they possibly can, and that's not what we advocate doing. We know that violence does not beget violence. There is no way you can have a safer nation with every person being armed. It just doesn't work that way. And the statistics show 90% of Americans in this country believe in sensible gun solutions, and a huge majority of those persons are gun owners themselves. So that's what we need the NRA leadership to understand, that some of the very people, members that they have in their own organization, believe in responsible solutions to keeping people safe. And they know that, you know, that has to be done, and they know that that's not going to infringe upon their own personal rights to arm themselves.
I'm going to add into the conversation, we're talking with Louisa McBath. She is the mom of a victim of violence that's been part of a national a story that everybody followed, and that is the murder of a Jordan Davis. But I want to bring in Josh Horwitz. He's with Stop Gun Violence, and they've got a billboard that's going to be driving all over town, and that hopefully all of these NRA conventioneers, when they're not in the restaurants and imbibing in adult beverages, will see that, and maybe that'll put something on the heart on their hearts. Mr. Horwitz, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
What are you guys now? What are you guys doing here in Indianapolis during the unofficial Republican National Convention?
Yeah, well, we are. What we want to do is we want to expose the extremism of the NRA leadership. One of the reasons is, as Ms. McBath said, that the members aren't in tune with their leaders, and the reason that is because many members are, you know, reasonable people, but their leaders are not. The board of directors of the NRA is populated with people like Ted Nugent and Oliver North and people who have said awful things about the president, awful things about people, you know, of immigrants, and they've terrible things about women and things that are, you know, that have terrible racist implications. So, you know, this board is made up of extremists that are not representative of gun owners and are certainly not representative of democratic values. And so we have a truck running around talking, you know, with a picture of Ted Nugent with all these guns, and he says, talking about apartheid, all men are not created equal. Well, we think, of course, the founding belief of this country is that all men are created equal, and it's hard for the NRA, which calls itself the nation's oldest civil rights organization, to live up to that if they have someone who's saying that all men are not created equal, and that someone who's called, speaking of Ted Nugent, someone who's called the president a subhuman mongrel. I mean, these are people who are not fit for polite society, who are toxic, and that's why they're out of step with their own members. We need people to understand that, and we've created a website where people can go and learn about the board members of the NRA called meettheNRA.org, mm-hmm. and we invite people to go visit that.
Let me ask the both of you, Louisa McBath and Josh Horwitz, you all may not realize it, but we've had 52 homicides this year, one last night, and one the other night, and the person passed away. And we are one-third of the size of Chicago. And yet we're on a pace in terms of the level of the most extreme violence in our city to be, if we were Chicago, we would be ahead of their pace. What does both, from your perspectives, what can you say to our own African-American community in terms of what we can do to reduce the level of violence within our own community? Ms. McBath?
I would say education is absolutely the key. Education is absolutely the key. I think that the faith-based community has got to get involved. I think there has to just be a move of the coalition, civil rights coalition, civic organizations, faith-based, across the board to bring to light to our citizens what's happening within our own communities. Not just hold the candlelight vigils for the victims, not just hold the rallies, but take that information that they're given, once we expose to them what's happening collectively within their own states, give them that information, let them know the legislators that are passing this heinous legislation, take that information with them to the polls, and be committed to not putting back in office those individuals that are not preserving the safety for our future generations. Education is the key. What I find when I talk to people all around the country is that, you know, they say, oh, how terrible it is, and, you know, what can we do to help? What can we do to help? And I say to them, if you're not willing to really do something about it, don't ask me. Don't ask me. But if you're really willing to put forth the effort, then make sure when you go to the polls, you know you have in your hand the information about those individuals that are passing this legislation, and don't vote for them. That is the only way. Our vote is powerful. We have to use the vote.
And Mr. Horwitz,
I think that's right on. I think that there's sometimes an attempt to look within the community and say, you know, what are we doing wrong? I think that's in many ways a wrong approach. I think that there is a legal and legislative regime that makes it incredibly difficult to avoid firearms. And I think we need to get educated, as Mr. McBath just said, and we need to go to our state capitals and make our voices heard and be our own strongest advocates. If we are not in the capitals, if we're not involved in elections, then these laws with easy access to firearms will continue to prevail. But we need to go to our state capitals and say, we must have background checks. We must prevent domestic abusers from getting guns. We must prevent people with histories of violence from getting guns. The research is so clear that we have people at elevated risk that have easy access to firearms, and that will not change unless we show up at our state capitals on a regular basis and we vote in every single election.
Is it telling, I want to have both of you know as well as the audience, we went downtown to the convention center and we had signed up earlier for a press credential for the NRA convention, and we asked and invited someone from the NRA to come on the program today, not necessarily to engage in debate. I wanted our community to know where they're coming from as an organization, as well as to, you know, address the questions that I just asked Ms. McBath and Mr. Horwitz in terms of what can we do, or what could the NRA offer in terms of suggestions to reduce gun violence in our community. Did not hear back from anyone from the NRA. And I'm disappointed that it just seems that this is an organization that if their ideas are that strong and they believe them so much, why are they so afraid to come to the African-American community in the city where they're holding their convention and talk to the idea? It's amazing to me that people that love guns are afraid of a 60-some-odd-year-old man, black man, wears glasses with gray hair. It's just crazy. Why? Yeah, go ahead, Ms. Horwitz.
I mean, the reason is because their board members, the people who run the organization, have called the nation's first African American president a subhuman mongrel, and they're still on the board of directors. And they, you know, what they have said about what they believe about women's rights, what they've said with these racist overtones, what they've said about with their anti-immigrant animus is indefensible. And it's indefensible with their brand, and they are afraid to get called out on that. I mean, they want to go out there and say, we're about freedom, we're about civil rights. But when you put what their leaders are saying about people in the light of day, it is indefensible and disgusting, and they are afraid of you.
And finally, Louisa McBath, where does the case stand with the individual that, I still have to say allegedly, that allegedly murdered your son?
Well, at this point, we just had a court hearing this week, actually, and in that hearing it was decided that we would come back June 9th just to decide upon a trial date. So, of course, and there has been no date set, no hearing set for sentencing for Michael Dunn on the charges that he's already been convicted on.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a matter, you know, we're waiting patiently. Michael Dunn now has a public defender, and when you have a public defender, of course, they have all the other cases on their docket
right. That
they have to handle. So we're playing a waiting game. I will be honest with you. I get very anxious because I don't want them to forget about my child.
And we don't want anybody to forget about Jordan. And Louisa McBath, I don't know why Indianapolis is one of the largest cities in the country where our mayor doesn't want to be a mayor against illegal guns. It makes absolutely no sense to me because I know there are some Republican mayors that are a part of Mayors Against Illegal Guns. And a lot of the violence in our streets are committed by illegal guns. So, you know, hopefully hold up a sign while you guys are here confronting the NRA and remind our mayor that if you're not part of an organization that's against illegal guns, then that means you must be part of an organization that's for it. Louisa McBath with Moms Against Violence, also allied with the organization Mayors Against Illegal Guns, and Josh Horowitz with Stop Gun Violence. Guys, thanks very, very much for being with
Thank
us. Good luck to you.
So much. Thank you.
Thank you.